This morning, and let's turn to Psalm 119, and we're going to start in verse 89. Psalm 119, verse 89. Now, I've did a whole series out of the book of Psalms, and out of Psalm 119 some time back. But it's a psalm I like to revisit because it's kind of nice. You get little bite-sized things to meditate on, and it's kind of an acrostic in the sense that what we would call an acrostic in the sense that each little group of eight verses is keyed to the Hebrew alphabet and all that. But if you read it in Hebrew, each one starts with that letter as you go down there. But it's amazing. Isn't it interesting that we do things like acrostics and things to memorize stuff and remember stuff? And God did it first. You know, we don't come up with new ideas. We just finally figure out something God's already done, and then we try to copy it. That's pretty much what it is. And that's the way it is. But if you take in Psalm 119, verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad." Now, Father, again, thank you for the word of God that we've read. I pray you'd help me to be a blessing. And Lord, I just pray you'd use the word of God in our hearts. And Lord, we thank you for all that you've given. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, when we look at this passage of Scripture, most often people will use Psalm 119, verse 89 to make it clear that God has preserved His Word forever, that God's Word does not change. "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven." And of course, among us who believe that the King James Bible is the preserved Word of God, that when we teach that, that is a verse that we quote. But sometimes in trying to prove a point, we miss the point. It is good to be able to have verses that we can use to show that God's word is still here and we still have it. You know, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." Right? And here it says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." And so we use that as a proof verse. But the thing about it is, and the thing that we need to understand, is this isn't just about sitting down to fight the battle about Bible versions and things like that. There's something more to it. And a lot of times we get caught up in a fight and we miss the point. And so we need to kind of step back and focus on the point. Not the point of the battle, but the point of the Word of God. So look at what it says. He says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants." Now, we live in a world where the politics are that man is destroying the earth. And everybody's worried about, you know, first it was, I remember back in the 70s and in the 60s, it was nuclear winter. And then in the 70s, it was the coming ice age. And then they've had, it's just there's always a crisis going on, and people use this to gain wealth and political power. And the majority of our problems in this nation, in this world, are based upon people using things so that they can make money off of them. I mean, it's just the truth. You know, if we could find a way to make racism not profitable, we could get rid of it like that. Most of the racism we have are people out there stirring up trouble because it's profitable for them, and that's just the truth. Likewise with the things that are going on and in our nation and all the things they say. I'm not saying there's not pollution. I'm not saying there's not things that men ought to change. I'm not against recycling or any other thing that we may do. I'm not against those things, but I'm simply saying is, this idea that somehow man's going to just destroy everything is a lie. Yeah. This world functions just like it always has. And if you want to see, you know, people run around with their hair on fire, they just get one cause after another to try to find a way to gain power, political power or wealth or whatever it may be, and that's just the wickedness of man that goes forward. It wasn't very long ago that, you know, there was a big hole in the ozone layer over Antarctica, and it was going to expand and we were all going to die. Has anybody heard about the ozone hole lately? You don't hear about it anymore. Did it close up? Is all the ozone gone? No. Now, there's a lot of different things we could talk about in that regard if you wanted to actually do some research. But what I'm simply saying is, this is mankind. I'm not saying don't take care of the world. We ought to. There's a lot of things we ought to do. We ought to take care of things. And God made us a steward of the earth. And that was the original intention. But the idea that somehow man is just going to destroy the earth, that's crazy. But this passage here where it talks about thy faithfulness is unto all generations, thou hast established the earth and it abideth, they continue, that's talking about the earth and all the things in it, they continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. So the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, the wind, the rain, all the things that we have, they continue, and the things that are happening just like they always have. It was kind of comical. Sister Denise reminded me of something that I'd said before, but she read something, and they were talking about the ice melting and the permafrost and all this stuff. And it reminded me of a thing where they said they were going up on Mount Everest and they were actually finding bodies that had been lost back in the 40s, 30s, and 40s of people who tried to climb Mount Everest. And so the ice has melted to a point to where these bodies, and in some cases buildings and things like that they put there, are being exposed. Now, common sense says they were built way back then. And then over time, they were covered up with ice. And if the ice is melting to the point to where they're exposed, that means the ice was one time at that level, wasn't it? That's common sense. The thing didn't just, you know, sink down hundreds of feet into the ice. It got covered up over time. So that means that what they're running around scared about has actually happened before. That's the truth. But you say, well, why are you talking about all this? Because the earth, we have a testimony in the earth, a living testimony in the earth. A lot of times when you talk about God's preservation of the Bible, right, there's a lot of history involved. If you really want to understand the history, you've got to take time and read, and you've got to study, And you've got to learn. You've got to go back and read documents that were written hundreds of years ago. You've got to go find out about the people that were involved in the translations and everything. And most of us, we don't have the time to do that. Truth being, it's not that we don't have the time. We just don't have the inclination. We just don't want to be bothered. But God, knowing man, has given us in the earth a clear record of His faithfulness. Amen. Despite all the world wars, despite all the famines, despite all the floods, despite all the natural disasters and everything, the earth just continues right on. And God gives us that example to relate to His Word. Something that we can visually see to understand, hey, I have the Word of God, and not only that, the earth itself, the sun, the moon, the stars, they all the things that we do. I mean, we're putting people on the moon. We're sending things to Mars. How in the world do you think they, if everything's just all chaos, how do they calculate it? It's not all chaos. It's there. They are doing things that have been established by God. They are able to accomplish things because these ordinances and the way gravity works and the way all these things that we're learning about work, have they been ordained by God? And it shows us His faithfulness. Man gets a testimony. So if we can believe that God created the earth and all the things, then we can believe that God preserved His Word. Amen. And that's important. But I want you to see something there. He gives us that start, but then in verse 92 he says, "Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me." Now, here's an interesting thing and an interesting juxtaposition between those two verses that you see. In the second verse, he says, "I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me." You've made me alive. You've saved me, if you will. We talk about salvation as being what? Born again. And the Bible says, in the book of 1 Peter, it says we're being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, right? That's what the thing. Somebody brought us the Word of God, the Gospel, about Jesus' death, His burial, His resurrection, His payment for our sins. And that He's our only Savior. And somebody gave us the Gospel and the Word of God. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That, plus the influence of the Holy Spirit, imparted faith to our hearts. That's the way God works. And we believed the Gospel, we were saved. He quickened us with those precepts. He made us alive. We were dead in trespasses and sins. But we're made alive in Christ. You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So we see that picture there. But then in the previous verse, he said, "Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction." Now, here's the picture. The Word of God was enough to save you from hell and the judgment for your sins for all eternity. When you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, you were, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And then in Ephesians 4:30, it tells us, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." So that tells us how long the sealing is. Right? Amen. I mean, you can't get any more secure than that. Amen. So there you have that picture. So it was enough to save your soul, Christ's death was enough and to save your soul, to wash away your sins, to pay that penalty for all eternity, to seal you for all eternity. We talked about being adopted as God's child last week, and all the things that we talked about in that regard, all the benefits of salvation are there. Now, if it can do all that, it is enough for your problems, for your troubles. Think about that. A lot of times, when we have problems, just like the world is running around with their hair on fire, thinking that the world's going to end in 12 years, or trying to convince people that, so that everybody will change their behavior and submit to a bunch of regulations so that they can have power or profit, just like they're doing that, we have trouble coming in our lives, and what do? We run around with our hair on fire and look everywhere except the Word of God for the answer. Is it any wonder we get in trouble? And this is what he says. He says, unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. You know, the Word of God was something that God kept forever. It's here now, and it's everything I need. All the answers I need are right here. And I'm not just being flippant with that remark. Really and truly, any answers I need to make the right decision about anything under any circumstance is in the Word of God. Amen. That is the truth of it. And I can trust it because just like the earth has been here, God, I got a visual on the earth. It's here. It hadn't changed. I'm 60 years old now. I've seen a whole lot of things that have gone crazy. I've seen a lot of crazy weather. I've seen one day when it was over a foot of snow in Lubbock, Texas, and 106 in Brownsville, Texas. I've seen some crazy things as we've gone through the weather. I've seen ice storms. I've seen heat waves. I've been swimming in the middle of January with it being 90 degrees. And I've seen snow on the ground in April and May. I mean, I've seen a lot of things in my 60 years as far as the weather goes and things that happen. I've seen a lot of crazy things that mankind has done. I've seen a lot of wickedness in the world. And the answer's all right here. Everything we need is right here. There's understanding in the Word of God. Your understanding of the Word of God will affect your understanding of other things. Did you know that? Your understanding of the Word of God will affect your understanding of other things in the world, and it will impact the way you do them. All right? So, we have that picture there, and he said, unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. Now, he said, I had trouble come. But I handled it the godly way. I handled it according to your word. And it made a difference. It saved my life. It saved my... The Word of God saved my soul, and the Word of God saved my physical life. Now, understand something. God doesn't promise, balloons and rainbows and butterflies and everything like that for the rest of your life. The Bible says, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Right, we don't see a lot of that in the United States, but it's getting worse, and it may get worse as time goes on. You don't know. But the simple fact is, there are wicked men, there are wicked things that are going to happen, but if you want to have the right type of life, a life that you can not only be thankful for, and a life that makes it, you will look at the Word of God. You will look at the Word of God. And you will see it for what it is, and you'll see how trustworthy it is, and you will come to depend upon it. And you'll find out that God's way is the right way. You know, if we ever want to be mature as Christians, we need to get away from being babes. We need to get to the point where we study the Word of God, and it becomes such a part of our lives that that is our first place we look when it comes to finding answers. You know, it's kind of an amazing thing. It's kind of the human. It's human nature, but it's an amazing thing to see and watch generation after generation run around, and the younger generation comes up and they think they know everything. And then life hits them upside the head, and they find out, well, mom and daddy weren't so stupid after all. They kind of, because mom and daddy had already learned a lot of things. They weren't perfect. But our Heavenly Father is perfect. We don't need to be like a bunch of teenagers thinking we know more than God. And we've got the testimony of God's faithfulness. So we look at that, and then he says in verse 95, he says, "The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies." He said, I have enemies. The wicked have waited for me. I'm trying to do right. There are others that want to do wrong. Because I'm trying to do right, they consider me enemies. They've made themselves my enemies. So therefore, they're wicked. They waited for me. They're looking to destroy me. All right? He said, but I will consider thy testimonies. In other words, I have a lot of people trying to do me wrong, but I'm going to look at the Word of God and see how I should respond. I'm going to look at the Bible and see how I should behave toward them. And then in the final verse, he says, I have seen an end of all perfection. But thy commandment is exceeding broad. You know, you and I have the perfect picture of perfection. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. When he was asked, I believe it was Philip, Lord, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. Jesus' answer was, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Right? You want to get a picture of who God is, you look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? God was manifest in the flesh, right? This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our Savior. And so we look at that. We see the end of all perfection. We see who Jesus is. We see what he did and how he lived. And we have an example, but he's not just an example. He is perfection. He's without sin. And we have the Word of God, which is perfect. So we have perfection. And he says, but the end of but thy commandment is exceeding broad. And this is something that we need to understand about the Word of God. This is another thing that we need to be careful about. So often as we grow up in a Christian life, we begin reading the Bible, and we read the Bible, and then we become familiar with it. And then we get to the point to where the preacher gets up and he puts out a text verse or something, or a chapter or a verse. You say, oh, I read that. And you've got this attitude that, okay, I don't need to learn anymore. I've already read that. This isn't Reader's Digest condensed novels. This isn't some, it's the Word of God. It's deep. It's broad. It's going to, whereas you may use the Word of God in one case, later down the line, that same verse may help you in another area that's not related necessarily to what you did before. The Word of God is open. When you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't see somebody, that perfection in yourself, which is why we need the Word of God continually, why we need to continue to study it. Because it's broad. We see the end of all perfection, we see the result. One day we look forward, but right now we need the Word of God because it's exceeding broad, it's beyond us. God said, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So we see the necessity to stay in the Word of God. You know, God's given us a declaration that His Word is settled in heaven forever. It's not going to change. It's not going to go away. He's given us a picture of that promise in the fact that the earth continues just like it always has until God changes it. So we see we have a living representation of God's faithfulness for the Word of God. It was enough to save us. So it's enough for every other thing that we need to deal with. It's enough. It's there. All right, at least it wasn't a preacher. Hallelujah. All right. So he said we have that picture there, that salvation, that need for it, the enemies that we have that will help us. And then we see a necessity of something that needs to be a lifelong study. All right. We need to study the Word of God. And I will say this to you. Did you know that there's somebody who tries to get you to not study the Word of God and not remember the Word of God? What did Jesus say? Remember the parable of the seeds by the sower? The wicked one does what? And he tries to take the Word away, find a way to get it out of there before it takes root, before it's understood. So, it's important. We talk about studying the Word of God, and a lot of times we miss the importance of it. And the picture that we have here is God's trying to show us how important it is and how trustworthy it is. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll take a break before the morning service. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the Word of God. I pray you'd help us to learn these precepts and learn and understand your Word. And Lord, to love them and to depend upon them. We're just so thankful that we do have the Word of God. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to run and try to find it. It's here. And just like the earth abides forever, your Word abides forever. Nothing's going to change until you change it. So, Lord, we can trust it and we can depend upon it. And, Lord, help us to that end. It's so easy to trust in ourselves rather than trust in the Word of God. It's so easy to lean to our own understanding rather than to acknowledge you in all our ways. And Father, we just pray you'd help us to that end. Now, thank you for the time we've had. Thank you for the Gorman family being with us. And Lord, we just pray you bless them as they share the message and the burden that you put on their heart in the morning service. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.